Well, greetings, everyone, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, and I'm so happy today that I can open up this book which I hold in my hand, the Bible, and I can tell you as best I can, with God's help, the wonderful story of redeeming love. I can tell you that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of matchless grace. Yes, and I can tell you all this because I know it to be true from personal experience. Because you know, my friend, back on June the 2nd of 1952, after being convicted of my sinful and degraded condition in God's sight, I accepted His Son as my own and personal Savior. On that day I was saved. I was born again. I was made a new creature in and through Christ Jesus. And friends, as I stand before you today with the Word of God in my hands, I'm one of the happiest men in all the world because I have something that money can't buy. I have communion and fellowship with the Holy God and Creator. In addition, I have eternal life through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Romans 6 and 23 that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now tell me, radio friend, are you happy today? Is there any joy or real satisfaction in your heart and soul? Do you have peace with God? Well, if not, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And since peace is a result of faith, I can tell you in the words of Romans 10 and 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now then, let's listen to a lovely tune today. It's one that I'm sure is well known to most of you listening in. I believe it's the best known tune of all the ages past insofar as hymns are concerned. And it's the well-known favorite, The Old Rugged Cross. friends, I for one sure thank God today for the old rugged cross, and especially for the one who hung on that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee that thy beloved Son left the throne above and came down to this sin-cursed earth and went all the way to the old rugged cross and there shed his precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word today. Wherever Christ is being preached to the ends of the earth, we pray that it might please thee to bear thine arm in the salvation of precious souls. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before we get into the book today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it has a very solemn question connected with it, and it's entitled, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Friends, today I would like to use as my text a verse of Scripture that we find in the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to discuss with you a subject which thrills my soul, and it's a subject which I'm sure must bring continual joy and assurance to every true child of God. It is a subject whose foundation lies at the heart of God's divine character. Friends, it is a subject which transcends and comprehends mere finite minds. Yes, friend, I think it borders on the realm of the infinite. And it's a subject which makes the good news of the gospel a living reality in the lives of countless Christians throughout the world today. The subject to which I refer is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, by definition, forgiveness means to pardon or remit. And insofar as salvation is concerned, this is a prerogative reserved for God alone. Yes, God is the author or dispenser of forgiveness. Our text tells us that we Christians should forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now, there's a lot of people today who periodically appear in apparent penance and contrition before another mere human being and supposedly confess their sins to this other mere human being. Friends, this diabolical ritual is completely unsubstantiated by the Word of God. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we read that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. No sinner, friend, regardless of why you go to a priest or preacher to confess your sins, whether it's out of fear or because it makes you feel good inside, the fact remains that sins can only be forgiven by God. And then, only because of the great high priestly character of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are told in 1 John 2 and verse 1 that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, God is the author of forgiveness, and Jesus Christ His Son is the channel through which the forgiveness is dispensed. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, the Apostle Paul said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," meaning Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, we read that our sins are forgiven us for His name's sake. Now, friends, the next thing I want you to notice about forgiveness is its foundation. What is the basis of God's forgiveness of sin? Well, here again, the Word of God is very, very clear. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, we read that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Now, I don't know what could be any plainer than that. Friends, God's Word declares that without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no forgiveness of sin. And furthermore, were there any other way for a sinner to be justified in God's sight, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross. No, He had to shed His own life's blood in order to redeem the soul of sinful man. And if there's an unsaved sinner listening to my voice today, I want you to know that you'll never be saved. You'll never be born again. You'll never become a child of God. No, you'll never enter the kingdom of God apart from your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And I might add that every blood-washed child of God in the world today is accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, and all according to the riches of His grace. Yes, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, another characteristic of God's forgiveness of sin is its completeness. Its completeness. David the psalmist tells us in Psalm 103 and verse 3 that God forgiveth all thine iniquities. Friends, these are truly words of assurance for those who are burdened by sin. No, God doesn't just forgive some of our sins, but He forgives them all, every one of them, past, present, and future. And He does this all on the merit, the value, and the virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the reason I continually seek to exalt Jesus Christ on this Voice of the Gospel program. Friend, it was His love for you and I that led Him to Calvary's cross. It was His willingness to bear our sins in His own body on the tree that brings forth a song of praise and thanksgiving from this heart of mine. Sinner friend, it was His precious blood that flowed for your sin and mine. And if we but trust in Him as our own and personal Savior, all, did you hear that? All our sins are cast behind God's back. They're cast into the depths of the sea. They're separated as far as the east is from the west. God says He has blotted them out as though with a thick cloud. And sinner friend, if you need more assurance, God declares in Hebrews 10 and 17, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." You know, I've met professing Christians who have never really enjoyed their salvation because the devil brought before them some of the sins they committed before they were saved. Oh, listen, Christian friend. When the devil comes at you with your past life of sin, show him the Word of God. That's the only thing that will make him flee from you. And above all, show him how completely God has forgiven you. Yes, read to him 1 John 1 and 7. Listen to this. "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Not just a few of them, but all sin. All sin. Christian friend, listen. If God, because of Jesus Christ, forgives and forgets our sins, why should we remember them? No, don't let the devil rob you of the joy of God's salvation. The Apostle Paul declares in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Well, friends, because God's forgiveness of sin is so complete, I'm proclaiming it to lost rebel sinners today. Paul told the people in the synagogue at Antioch over in Acts chapter 13 that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And friend, that's what I'm trying to do today with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm seeking to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for sinners. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But listen, friends, the greatest preacher of the grace of God and the forgiveness of sin was the grand Apostle Paul. Over in Acts 26, he is telling King Agrippa how he'd been saved on the road to Damascus. Then he tells how God had commissioned him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And then in verse 18 of Acts chapter 26, he says that he was sent to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins. My, what a simple gospel the Apostle Paul proclaimed. He didn't worry about publicity and man-made campaigns. He didn't worry about stage productions and all the frills which are found in modern-day evangelism. No, he didn't worry about eloquence of speech and watering down the message to please his congregation either. Ah, no. Over in Acts 20 and verse 27, he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." No, the apostle feared God alone. And would that more preachers would fear God rather than their congregations. If they did, there would be less soft peddling the Word of God. Sin would be called sin, and a preacher wouldn't fail to warn his listeners to flee from the wrath of God either. Friend, listen. Listen. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. And it can only be good news to those who realize their lost condition in God's sight, to those who realize they're on the way to hell. Yes, the news is good news to the sinner because it tells them that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, suffered the wrath of God so that the repentant sinner could escape the flames of hell. Now then, let's take a look at still another phase of forgiveness, and that is its reception. Its reception. How does a sinner receive forgiveness of sin? Does he have to reform first? Does he have to get religion, as they call it? Does he have to pray it through? Does he have to go to an altar? Does he have to be baptized? Does he have to experience some physical sensation or emotional shock? Well, let's see what the Word of God has to say. Over in Acts 5 and verse 31, we're told that repentance and forgiveness go hand in hand. In other words, a sinner, in order to receive forgiveness of sin, must have a repentant and contrite heart. He must truly be sorry for his sin. He must be aware of the awfulness of sin and the holiness of God. And friends, no one can become a child of God unless they repent. Jesus Christ says that except ye repent, ye shall perish. In Acts 17 and verse 30, we read that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Again, in 2 Peter 3 and 9, we're told that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another thing we notice about receiving forgiveness of sin is the fact that we must confess our sin in order to be forgiven. In 1 John 1 and 9, God says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I think of David's confession back there in Psalm 32 and verse 5. Here's what he said. "I acknowledge my sin against thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins." And finally, my friend, the unredeemed sinner received the forgiveness of sin by faith. Yes, just simple childlike faith. He believes what God says to be true. He believes God when God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He believes God when He declares that the wages of sin is death. Yes, and he believes God when God promises to forgive his sins on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the apostle says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins." Friend, as you listen to this broadcast today, can you honestly say before God that your sins are forgiven? Or are they still taking you down to the pit of hell? Well, friend, if you have never been saved through faith in the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, then according to this book, the Bible, you're still a child of the devil, and you're under the condemnational wrath of a sin-hating God. But fortunately for you, this is still the day of God's grace, and he has permitted you to hear the wonderful story of redeeming love, of how his Son loved you. Yes, and he loved me too so much that he was willing to pay the price for the redemption of our souls. Yes, he was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that he might bring us back to his Father God. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who knew no sin, yet he was made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now, friend, the choice is up to you. God has done his part in providing the sacrifice for your sin. And now you must either repent of your sin and accept by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or else you'll say no to God and you'll tell him that you don't need a Savior. You're quite willing to suffer for your own sins in the flames of hell. Well, friends, as you make your choice today, either for or against Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember, destiny is determined by decision. And I read back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 where God says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So, friend, whether you realize it or not, you're making a choice that is going to determine where you're going to spend all eternity. You're either going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and go to heaven, or else you're going to reject the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in the death of his Son at Calvary's cross, and you're going to go down to hell. Friend, God loves you today. God doesn't want you to go to hell. Friend, if you go to hell, you'll be trampling underfoot the love and grace of God expressed in the death of his Son at Calvary's cross. You know, I think of those beautiful words uttered by God's Son back there in John 3 and verse 16. Here's what he said. Listen to this, friend. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, you can have everlasting life today if you'll simply acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Repent of your sin. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. And look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence again today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for thy great heart of love that sent him to Calvary's cross to die and shed that precious blood which alone cleanseth from sin. Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word wherever Christ is being preached today. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, that bitter wail, almost but lost. Almost. But lost.
Well, friend, I hope you're not going to be almost saved, but eternally lost. If you have any questions relative to God's salvation, you write to me, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that zip code is 15134. That address again, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, the Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.